tell you. That's the message we need to be telling people today, too. It's what God's told us right here. We need to tell them. And Larry Williams comes here, says, you know, they don't want to hear it. I said, that's right, Larry. They may not want to hear it, but that's not what God said. God said for us to tell them.
Amen.
He didn't say whether they would like to hear it or wouldn't like to hear it. He just said, you tell them. And so that's what we do today. He said, their wickedness has come up before me. How many of you know God knows what's going on?
Yes, he does.
Now, the world may not believe that God knows what's going on. They may not even believe in God. But he knows what's going on. He said their wickedness has come up before. He said that about Sodom and Gomorrah, too. And you saw what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah and the plain cities around it. And the prophet was already aware that God was right. Their wickedness, they were wicked people. The prophet Jonah knew that before God told him. But God wanted him to know that he knew it. They're wicked people. And so God's going to give them an opportunity. I've often wondered why God didn't just save them. He knew they were going to repent. Jonah said that. God, I knew something about. I know something about you. You're going to cause these people to quit being bad. I don't want that. I want you to destroy them. Really, is what he's saying in his heart. And so I've often wondered why he didn't do that. But he's teaching his prophet a lesson too about the willingness to do his particular job. So God's love is not determined by our national boundaries. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad God didn't just love those people over there and forget about us? But he doesn't. He loves all mankind. And so he's going to spare this great city. Let's look at verse 3. Jonah 3:3. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. He got up and did what God wanted him to do, according to the word of God. He did it according to the word of God. Now, Nineveh was a great city of 3 days' journey. I think he's talking about the journey through the city, because it's about 64 miles around. And God's saying this 3 days' journey matches the time that Jonah was in the fish's belly, 3 days. It's 3 days' journey. And so this great city of about 3 days' journey through was where Jonah was to preach. Now, I read something, and you probably did in your books, about what archaeologists have said. Archaeologists determined the size of the city of Nineveh to be about 1,730 acres. And so this would say that the city wasn't quite that big. But if the Bible says it's 3 days' journey, it's 3 days' journey. And I stick with that. Let's look at verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. He walked a day's journey into the city before he began to give his message. He's getting toward the heart of the city. It's only a guess, but I would say Jonah tried to go to the seat of power, wherever that was at in the city. Now, sometimes in that day, the seat of power was at the gate. That's where business transactions were done, especially in Jerusalem. But in this situation, Jonah walked a day's journey into the city, and then he cried, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." If I would have been a Ninevite, I would have wondered, who is this guy that's coming to my city and telling me that I'm going to be destroyed in 40 days? Who is this guy? I would have wanted to know something about him. But it doesn't say anything about that. Jonah just walks a full day's walk into the city and begins to tell them what God had told him to say. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. They knew what that meant. That meant that somebody was going to be tougher than they were and come and overthrow their city. And as far as the Assyrians were concerned, there wasn't anybody tougher than they were. They were kind of like the fellow who says, bring it on. If you think you're tough enough to overthrow me, bring it on. Well, that's not the way it happened. This message that's recorded here seems to be a simple message. But if you're a Ninevite, it was a powerful message because it was really saying you're about to be whipped real well. And so it seems that Jonah just walked into the city and said what God had him to say. Now, I don't know a lot about the number 40. I just know that it has a lot of meaning in the scriptures. But this was 40 days. You know, Moses was in on the mountain for 40 days, and Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights and so on. But anyway, this 40 had something to do with it. God said 40 days is what I'm giving you as a city, and if you don't repent by then, you're in big trouble. And so 40 days was the time they were given. You know, remember in Noah's day, the rain fell for 40 days and 40 nights. There's a significance about 40. I don't understand. I've heard a lot of explanations of this. I don't believe any of them. But anyway, I just don't understand all about 40 days, 40 nights. One of these days, I'll just ask if it's necessary. And then I'll get the right answer. Right now, I'll just get an opinion. And all of you have one. And probably not the same opinion. Probably wouldn't be the same as my opinion either. And so, I don't know. God is long-suffering. However, His judgment is sure. He said, if you don't repent in 40 days, you're in big trouble. That's basically what He's saying. He said, you're going to be overthrown. And so, it's not what's fair, it's what God says. Now, that'll always be fair. But if it's not, it's okay. Because it's what God says. God said in 40 days you're going to be overthrown if you don't repent. Let's look at verse 5, part of verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Wow, what a statement. Here's this bunch of heathens that hears this prophet come and say, in 40 days you're going to be overthrown, and they believed it. I wonder what our problem is. You know, we have all kinds of things that are said to us today that we don't believe. I do. I watch that TV sometimes, and I say it out loud. That's not true. Well, don't look at me like that, because I have an idea a few of you have said that too. If you listen to some of this news, that's not true. Yeah, that's what they say. I don't know whether it's fake or whether it's just a lie, but nevertheless, you know, we all make our judgments, don't we? But these people listened to Jonah, and they said, hey, this guy is telling us that we're going to be destroyed here in 40 days. It says, and they believed God. Now, somewhere in that message, God had been taught to them. They had a lot of gods, but I'm talking about the one true and living Creator God. They had come to realize that He's the God of gods, evidently. The Ninevites had all kinds of false gods, so they weren't talking about one of their false gods. They were talking about God Himself. And so they believed it. They believed the message. It's important today what we believe and who we believe. Pastor talks about all the time about the enemy deceiving us, and that's true. The enemy will deceive us. In fact, it says in Scripture he's deceived the whole world. And so if that's what Scripture says, I believe that. He's deceived the whole world. We don't want him to deceive us or continually to cause us to believe something that's not true. We want to know what the truth is. So, God here makes himself known some way through his people that he really is telling them, that Jonah is telling them the truth. God is going to destroy them. And notice what they did in the middle of verse 5. And proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. From the king on down, they put on sackcloth. Sackcloth was a rough cloth that symbolized repentance or mourning, whatever. And so we know that they not only believed it, but they did something to prove that they believed it. I know that if we're a believer, that as far as God is concerned, we're okay. But it takes more than just believing. If these people would have just said, hey, I believe it, and went on about their daily lives, I don't think God would have appreciated that at all. Probably wouldn't have had anything to do with them. But they did something about it. They bowed themselves before the one true and living Creator God, and they fasted from food and from drink, and that was a common thing to be done in that day. But they put on sackcloth, showing that they were sorry for the condition of their hearts. Verse 6, and we're going to move along. For word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and set in ashes. I want to tell you, people who are privileged don't like to abase themselves. It was quite a thing for a king to get himself up off of his throne. We don't know exactly what kind of throne he sat on. It doesn't tell us. But anyway, it was an elegant place, no doubt. And get up off of that throne of power and sit down on a bunch of ashes and put that old rough cloth on them, throw off his kingly robes. It showed that he believed what Jonah was saying. In 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. And he's sitting in these ashes. The word came to him. I know he was hearing the words of Jonah, but it was like God was speaking to him, in my view. You better do this. In other words, this is what's really going to happen, and so you better listen. The king did exactly opposite of what Jonah had done. Jonah was running from God, and the king was running to God. He was just doing exactly opposite of what Jonah was doing. And here Jonah is supposed to be God's man. But anyway, the critics have kind of said, oh, this is not accurate. That couldn't have been because Nineveh wasn't the capital of Assyria until later on. Well, I'd rather believe what the Bible says. The king was sitting in Nineveh. As far as I'm concerned, that was what was important. Whether it was the capital city at that time or not, it was a great city because God himself said it was. The great city of Nineveh. And so here we see this pagan king responding to God in a greater way than a lot of people who kind of call themselves Christians today. He's responding in a positive way. He's more in tune with God than Jonah is, so to speak. In other words, he's listening to what God is saying and doing something about it. And Jonah, as we know, has run the wrong way before. Now he just has another chance, and he's taking advantage of it. Verses 7 and part of 8. It says, and he caused it to be, talking about the king, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. And let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. That's the big G. He's not talking about his fake gods. He's talking about crying out to Creator God. Now, I want to tell you what. I don't know how much you've been around a farm, but if you don't give animals food and water, you're not going to sleep very well. Them things are going to make a lot of noise. They're going to make a lot of noise. No food, no water. I want to tell you, they're going to be making noise. And that's what this king, this heathen king said. This was what he said. The fast was originally limited to the people of Nineveh, but now the king says, okay, if we're going to have to fast, everybody else is going to have to fast with us. God's last recorded response to Jonah was reinforced here, that God cares about all people. And we have all kinds of organizations today, Black Lives Matter, all lives matter to God. I'm not saying black lives don't matter. They do matter, but all lives matter to God. Let's not segregate it into one group and say this is the only one that matters. If that would have happened, Nineveh would have never been saved at this time. But God didn't look at it like that. God loved these people, and that's what Jonah had been saying all along. The king, to risk the health and safety of his kingdom, said, nobody eats, nobody drinks, and everybody gets covered with sackcloth and ashes to show repentance. Last part of verse 8, yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way. Notice he's preaching gospel. The old king, the heathen king, saying, hey, turn away from your evil ways and the violence that is in your hands. Whatever you intend to do that's bad, don't do it. Quit doing it. So the king seems to recognize here that things are bad. That things are going to really get bad unless they repent before the Lord at that time. So the violence of the Assyrians were something that everybody knew about, and the archaeological discoveries today of that area proves it. The kinds of torment that they put their prisoners through prove that they were a heathen people. They committed all kinds of atrocities to the people that they overtook, and the Assyrians, were mean. In fact, at one time God let them overrun his own people, and they treated his own people so bad, then he turned on the Assyrians. Said, you didn't treat my people as well as you should have, so here's what's going to happen to you. Now, Jonah is faithful in preaching the gospel, and the king has believed it. He's said, okay, everybody's going to fast and wear sackcloth and ashes. The city of Nineveh was called to repent from the way of life that they're living. We are called to repentance today in this nation and the world. Now, whether we're going to heed to it as Nineveh did in that day or not is up to us. We just studied it last week. Everybody is responsible for himself or herself. You can't blame it on somebody else with God. Because God knows. There's no, well, I wonder about that with God. With us, there is. There's a lot of things I've thought, I wonder about that. God never has that. Can you imagine that? Never having to have a wonder about anything? He just knows. You just know. God knows. Notice what it says in verse 10. And God saw their works. Hey, by the way, he sees ours too. I'm not saying we're saved by works. I'm not saying that. Don't go away and say Brother Joe's teaching salvation by works, because I'm not. But he sees our works. He knows what we're doing, why we are doing what we're doing. Saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he didn't do it. He did it not. He'll do the same with us today. How many of you know that destruction is promised to those who will not repent. Amen. All of us are going to stand before the Lord at the judgment, and it will be judged out of the books. The Bible teaches it very clearly. We'll be judged out of the books. It's not that God's going to forget, but He wants to be able to show me, this is what you did. Oh, I think if our memory is gone, it'll come back at that time. We'll remember. Whenever somebody shows you something that's written in black and white, it makes a difference, doesn't it? I think of the AT&T ad, and I'm not advertising for AT&T, but she said she wrote it in permanent marker so you'd remember. Well, God's written a lot of things in permanent marker so we'll remember. Not so He'll remember, but so we will. And so this is the language of God. Repentance is the language of God. Repentance or punishment's coming. And God has always loved all people. The Bible's very plain about that. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We know that. Nineveh suffered destruction about 100 years later because they would not repent. But at this time, they repented from the king on down and asked God to forgive them of their sins, and God deterred judgment. He didn't let judgment come at that time. And, of course, we know what Jonah said. I knew it, God. I knew it before I preached the message that you gave me, that you are going to be a softy and forgive these heathens of their sins. I want to tell you what, we should jump for joy when God forgives a sinner of his sins. It ought to remind us about how He forgave us. When we see somebody get forgiveness of their sins, and it should remind us, hey, at one time that was you. But God had mercy on you as well. So the thought is here that God will give us another chance to preach the message. And God intends to establish new people in His kingdom all over the world. I've often wondered about the war that's going on in Israel today, about how many of the people that were at ease have thought, boy, we better get ourselves together because one of those bombs will hit right where we're at. If that's not their thought, it should be, especially if they're not ready to go. So Jonah listened to the Lord the second time and did what God told him to do, even though he was reluctant in doing it. And so today, we can know that God will give us an opportunity to share His Word with those around Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your Word today. We pray Your blessings on it and ask, Lord, that You would cause it to be part of our own life and thinking, that whenever we feel like, I don't really want to do that, that You would cause us to repent and do what You ask us to do and to do it with a willing heart. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?